James, I'm an alcoholic.
Hey.
I'd like to thank Sam for asking me to speak. It's always an honor to be asked to speak or do anything in AA. When I got to AA, there was nobody had really asked me to do anything for a long time. I had been asked to leave a lot of places or by a lot of people, so this is whatever people actually ask for me to show up anywhere. I like that. That's good. But anyway, my sobriety date is December 1st, 2009. My home group is Outlaw Safecracker Group. We meet on Mondays and Thursdays on Cary Street down in Richmond. So I know we've had a few of you guys come out to speak, but if you're ever down there on a Monday or Thursday, please come check us out. I always struggle with how to start when I tell my story. But I think the best way to do it is there's a buddy of mine that used to be in my home group. He used to always... Oh, thanks. It's good? This guy that used to be in my home group used to always, when I would hear him speak, he'd always say, "I'm here because I love getting drunk." I think that's probably the best way to do it. I love drinking. I love everything about it. It was, when I discovered drinking, that was just like, it was the biggest turning point in my life that I'd had before or since, really. It was just like, I don't know, I felt, for a long time, I felt like I was just born to drink. It was, there was nothing else like it. But obviously I'm here, so it didn't really work out too well. And I don't know, I don't come from an alcoholic family. I had a really stable childhood growing up. I grew up in Palatine County. Both my parents still married. They were really loving parents. I didn't really have anything to complain about as a kid. Nothing crazy happened. I didn't grow up around alcoholism. I didn't really know anything about alcoholism. Growing up, the only thing I knew about it was what I would see on TV. I'd watch like Cops, and there'd be some drunk guy getting arrested, and that's what I thought alcoholism was, or what we heard in like health class in high school. There's nothing in my past that is I can point to as a reason for the way I drink the way I do, or for why I drink the way I do. And I got sober in rehab, and when I was in rehab, I noticed a lot of the other people there had some really horrible stories of just terrible stuff that happened to him, which if you heard it, you would think, yeah, I'd drink like that if that happened to me. But I didn't have any of that. I just loved drinking. I couldn't seem to stop. Luckily, when I came to AA, I realized I don't need any of that. I'm surrounded by people that understand what I'm talking about when I talk about drinking. When I start drinking, I can't stop. It doesn't matter what I do, and I can't. Whenever I decide that drinking is just ruining my life, and I can't do it anymore, I can't stay stopped. I can't not drink. Before I really got serious about AA and took the steps, I tried explaining that to people that were not alcoholic, and they don't understand. They have no idea what I'm talking about. But I would come to AA meetings and hear people that have been sober for a while say that from the podium, and it really that's what kept me here. I was not a big fan of AA for a long time, but what kept me here and really changed the course of my sobriety was just coming to meetings and hearing people that drank the way I did. I'd never heard anybody talk about drinking the way people talk about drinking in an AA meeting. I don't think you will. And I talked to counselors, people that knew a lot about alcoholism, but there's just something that only another alcoholic has that you can't really get anywhere else. I can't get it by talking to a therapist or a friend or anything like that. And I had my first drink when I was 18. I was kind of a late starter. I know most people that I've heard seem to start around like 12 or 13, but I didn't. Like I said, I didn't really grow up around drinking, so I didn't have anything. I really had no interest in it. I didn't know anything about alcohol. I didn't know what it did. All I knew is I didn't really want to end up on Cops, and that's all. The only thing I knew about drinking was I wasn't super stoked about trying it, but when I was 18, I was in high school, and I took the art program from my high school, did this trip, and they took a bunch of students to Italy, and in Italy, they don't have a drinking age, and everybody else that was there, had already been, I wasn't really a party animal in high school, I didn't have a ton of friends, but everybody else that was there had drank before, as soon as we got there, all they wanted to do was drink, and I didn't really have much interest in it, but after a while, I kind of wanted to fit in, so I tried it out, and the first time I really got drunk was the last night we were there. It was the night before we were going to come back, and everybody just wanted to throw down because it was the last time we were going to be able to drink legally for like 3 years. So we wanted to make it count. So everybody, I remember we were in Rome. We went to there's a train station right near the hotel we were staying at, they have liquor stores and train stations in Italy, which is, I didn't really think much of it at the time, but now that's pretty cool. we all went down to this liquor store with a bunch of backpacks and just loaded it up with as much booze as we could get. And we went back to the hotel and just like everybody there got trashed. And I don't remember all of what I drank. A good part of a bottle of Bailey's Irish Cream, a good part of a bottle of wine, some, I think, Jack and Cokes. But it was just awesome. I remember, growing up before that, I was a really kind of like a typical, just like nerdy, neurotic kid. I was really into I played a lot of soccer. I read a lot. And I didn't, like I said before, I didn't really have a ton of friends. I was not a very social guy. And at the time, I would have told you I was just shy. But now, looking back on it, I was just very self-obsessed. I care so much about what other people think of me that I just can't. It keeps me from being able to open up to somebody else. That's something that's come back in sobriety too. But when I was the first time I got drunk, that all went away. I had all these thoughts about what does everybody else around me think of me? Do they think I'm cool? Do they like me? You know, do those girls think I'm cute? Do they think I'm creepy? As soon as I get drunk, that all just goes away. I'm just having a good time. I feel like I'm on the same level as everybody else. I'm the funniest guy in the room. I think I'm the funniest guy in the room. You know, I'm smart. I can talk to anybody about anything. It's just awesome. And I had never felt like that, anywhere near that comfortable with anything before I got drunk. But I remember that night in Italy when it didn't take long. I think I'd only been drinking for like a half hour. I just thought, this is amazing. This is the greatest thing that's ever happened to me. Like I couldn't explain. I couldn't really put into words how good I felt. And in fact, one of the things I thought of was like, I can totally understand how people get addicted to this. This is awesome. And I got back. So when we got back, I just thought drinking was really all I thought about for a while. That was all I wanted to do. I was about to go to college, and before I went to Italy, I had been, thinking of, I guess, normally the things you would think about when you're about to go to college, what I want to do with my life, am I going to the right school, what's going to be like at college. And when I got back, I did not care. I just knew I was about to go to college, and people drank a lot at college, and that was what I was going to do. So I went to VCU, and that's pretty much all I did there was drink. And I know I hear a lot of I've heard a lot of people get up to the podium and talk about drinking in college, and I don't know what. Maybe it's just I'm only listening to a certain amount of people, but they always seem to say like, well, I made the dean's list, or I barely graduated. And if that happened to you, that's awesome, but that's not my story. I was not at college to do anything other than drink. I went to VCU I was there for two semesters. I failed every single class I took. I left after a year I literally had no grade point average. That kind of started a trend for the next couple of years when I was drinking, where I was just having a great time. But if you would take a look from the outside, I was just, ruining my life. All I cared about was drinking. I remember going to school, and after a couple of months of both semesters, I stopped going to class. I would drink anytime I could get my hands on it. And I noticed that everybody else that I was hanging out with, they all liked to drink, but they didn't seem to like it just as much as I did. Like, they all liked to do other stuff too. Like I hung around with a lot of potheads. They wanted to get stoned all the time. That wasn't really my thing. I couldn't understand why you would want to go get high when you could get drunk. He used to drive me up the wall. That always felt weird to me. And I also noticed that as much as some of the people I hung out with liked to tie one on, they didn't necessarily have to do that every time they drank. You know, they could have a beer and chill out, or they could, they could have maybe two or three and then go to bed early because they had class the next day. I could never do that, even when I wanted to. Even if I thought, I got to get serious, I have to start going to class. As soon as I have one drink, then I'm going to drink until I can't get anymore. That's the way it always was for me. And I thought that I mean, at the time and for a long time, I just thought it was a self-control issue. Maybe they're just more mature than me. I don't know. But that's pretty much all I did in college. And dropped out of college, came home, and I remember being super embarrassed that I dropped out of college. But other than that, nothing had really changed. I just wanted to keep drinking. I didn't have any other plans or any desires beyond that. So I moved back in with my parents. I got a job at a restaurant, which was great because I was surrounded with people that drank like me. I was a cook in a sports bar, and it was awesome. I could go to work, be working until like 11 or 12, and then get off of work and go to work. Somebody was usually having a party in a trailer somewhere out in Western Powhatan, go hang out there until 2 or 3 in the morning, and then go home, pass out, and do it again. And I did that for a while, and I don't know. I started having people, you know, ask me about what I wanted to do with my life, and you know, basically trying to help me, saying like, look, you know, you really don't seem to be have a lot going on. Don't you see anything wrong with that? Because again, I came from a pretty good family, I'm a triplet. I got a brother and a sister the same age as me, and neither of them is alcoholic. And I have a younger sister that's just a couple years younger, so they're all kind of doing pretty well. Both my brother and my sister went to college too. They're doing all right. They're pretty normal. Things are going pretty well for them. And things are just slowly getting worse for me. And at this point, they're not really that bad because I have a job. I'm drinking a lot, but it's not every single day. But people are still kind of asking questions like, why do you really want to work in a sports bar and go to parties and trailers the rest of your life? Is that something you want to be doing? And at the time, I was like, yeah, I don't care. So I kept doing that for a while. But after, it didn't take long. It had only been maybe a couple of years. Drinking kind of changed. And I don't know why that happened for me so soon. It doesn't seem to happen that way with other people. But I don't know. I think that's just the way alcoholism is. It works differently for other people. But I started drinking a lot more than a guy my size should be able to drink. I started drinking alone, which was something that I had never really done before. And I'd always, drinking to me had always been like a social thing. I always felt like, you know, once I started drinking, that's when I could really be with people. But after a couple of years, I basically started running out of people that wanted to go get wasted on a Tuesday night at like 11 o'clock. So I just started drinking by myself. I was living with my parents. My dad had this huge jug of Dewar's scotch that he would keep in a liquor cabinet. It would just sit there. It would have like maybe half a glass, like this much, one or two times a week. One night I think I was bored. I couldn't find anybody that wanted to go out, so I just started dipping into that. And that's another one of the things that really struck me when I met my sponsor was the way he talked about drinking alone. Because I remember when I started doing that and I discovered drinking by myself, I thought it was the greatest thing ever. It was like as great as drinking, going out to parties and drinking with other people was, drinking by myself was just like another level. I could do whatever I wanted. I didn't have to please anybody. There wasn't a risk that I was going to get blackout and start screaming at somebody, which had happened a few times before. I thought it was just awesome. And when I hear people that aren't alcoholics talking about alcoholics drinking alone, they always make it sound really sad, which in reality it is. But that's not the way I felt. I thought it was great. I was just like, it was, you know, for a guy, somebody like me that's just obsessed with themselves, I think it was just a way for me to just hang out in my head and, you know, not have to deal with anything resembling reality. I could just, you know, watch TV, this is like 2006, 2007, and around that time, Intervention was on all the time. So I used to get wasted and watch Intervention. I thought that was the greatest thing ever. I thought it was awesome. But I started doing that, and I started hiding the amounts I was drinking. And I don't know why I did that, because at the time I didn't think I was an alcoholic, but I just didn't want anybody. I guess I was worried that somebody was gonna say something about it, and I wanted to kind of nip that in the bud. So I would go to a liquor store, buy a bottle of scotch. I like to drink scotch because I thought it made me look good, which it didn't make any sense for two reasons. One, most of the time nobody was seeing me drink, And two, the people that I did drink with when I was actually hanging out with people, they didn't care. They didn't drink scotch. Like, their idea of a good beer was, like, not a Bud Light. So they, you know, they really don't give a crap what kind of scotch I'm drinking. But anyway, I would go to the liquor store and buy this. I have no idea what it's called, but it's the kind of scotch you get in a handle. At the time, it cost like $10. It tasted horrible. But if I, you know, if nobody saw the bottle and I poured it into a glass, I could pretend it was like Glenlivet or something like that. So I would buy that, and I would take it back to my parents' house, sneak it upstairs, get wasted all night. And after a while, when we're doing that every night, it started building up this huge supply of empty liquor bottles. Like, my bedroom just starts to look like a landfill. So when I throw them out, I have to wrap them in paper towels and put them in a trash bag so they won't clink, and make sure that I take it to the dump just so nobody knows exactly what's in there. And I was thinking about doing stuff like that. It's so weird that at the time I didn't consider myself an alcoholic. Because I knew that wasn't normal. Most people didn't do that, but it was just, I just thought that's what I have to do to drink the way I want to drink. But after a little while of that, I guess I'm watching too much Intervention, so I realize, well, maybe I don't think I'm an alcoholic yet, but I feel like if I keep doing this, I might become an alcoholic, and I don't want that to happen. And then I might have to stop drinking. So I just start thinking, trying to cut back, and going from maybe. Well, I didn't start out with any kind of plan, but I would say, well, maybe I just shouldn't drink tomorrow night. And then the next day I would wake up and think, like, all right, I'm not going to drink tonight. And there was no reason for me to think I would drink tonight. I was feeling good. I didn't have any reason to. And then at some point during the day, something would happen. And I don't know what it was, but I would just change my mind. I would just end up at the liquor store. And after trying that over and over and over again, it never worked, and I could not understand why. I couldn't understand how I would be so sure that I wasn't going to drink that day, and that no matter what happened or what I did or how much I wanted to not drink, I would still end up drinking. It floored me. I'd never had that kind of problem with anything before. I always felt like if there's something you want bad enough, you just got to want it bad enough, and it's not an issue. And I think with most things, it's like that. You know, if I'm feeling bad enough about eating junk food, I can stay away from junk food for a little while. But it was with booze, I was never able to do that. And so enough of that combined with watching a lot of intervention makes me think, all right, well, I got to do something about the amount I'm drinking. You know, I don't want to end up in intervention. I don't want to end up on COPS. It hasn't happened yet, but, you know, you can't be too careful. So I start thinking of other ways I can cut down. One of them is, well, I'm living with my parents, so maybe I should move out. I'll feel a little bit better about myself, and maybe I won't be drinking so much. I tried that. I got a place in Richmond with a guy that I'd gone to college with, and it just that is probably the worst decision he's ever made. I was a horrible roommate. I get out there, and instead of drinking less, I start drinking more because I feel like, well, I don't have to hide it around this guy. He doesn't give a crap how much I drink. The amount I'm drinking goes way up, and I start blacking out a lot more. Other basic stuff like hygiene is not a priority. He's got to like get in an argument with me for me to take a shower. Not paying the rent on time. I think I paid the rent on time twice. Once was the month I moved in, and the next time was when I got my tax refund that year. And I was just making his life miserable. I'd black out and get in a screaming match with him or his girlfriend, or he was not a happy camper. So that didn't work. And I started to get more and more I'm just miserable. Drinking doesn't seem to be able to do the same kind of thing it used to, because when I first started drinking, the first couple of years I was drinking, it was just like as long as I could drink, anything else that was an issue wasn't a big deal. I look back on that like my first year in college and a couple of years after that is a really good time, because I had a lot of problems, but I could drink as long as I could drink. I didn't care. But now that really wasn't the case. I'm drinking a lot, but I'm actually having, there are some times when I feel like I can't get drunk. And it didn't happen often, but when it happened, it was just the weirdest thing. I remember there's one night I killed like a six pack in maybe an hour, and I could have sworn to you that I couldn't feel anything. At this point, I really don't have any friends. The people that I used to drink with weren't answering my phone calls. And when I did go out with somebody, I usually ended up in a mess. So I'm just basically, I'm going to work. I still got a job somehow. I would go to work, go to a liquor store, come home, get wasted, and then do it again. I didn't talk to many people. I didn't talk to my roommate if I could avoid it, because usually he was angry at me for something I had done the night before. Starting to physically feel the effects of how much I'm drinking too. Like, I just feel like crap all the time. And when I'm not drunk, I feel miserable. I wake up in the morning and I'm super nervous. I can't stop sweating. I have a hard time in the afternoons holding my hand steady. I start thinking that maybe I am an alcoholic. Which for somebody like me, telling somebody I'm an alcoholic is great, but that doesn't really mean anything. That just means I think I drink too much and I need to stop. That's good to know. It's a useful piece of information to have. But if you're not willing to do anything, or if I'm not willing to really do anything about it, it's not going to do me any good. That's been my experience when I was drinking, and it's my experience in sobriety as well. Because at the time, I remember telling my roommate, I think I'm an alcoholic, and I would, you know, if you would have given me a lie detector test, I would have said, yeah, I'm an alcoholic, you know, but I still wanted to be able to drink. I started trying to stop drinking completely, and same thing happened, I couldn't do it, and at the time, I wondered why I couldn't, but I think it was the same as, I was still trying to control and enjoy my drinking. I would tell people I wanted to stop, and I felt like I wanted to stop, but I really didn't. I wanted to be able to drink the way I did without all the other stuff happening, without basically feeling like crap all the time. And it just wasn't working. So I did that for a few months. I ended up moving back in with my parents, because after a while I'm drinking so much that I really can't afford to pay any bills. All my money is going towards booze or just all this stupid stuff that I buy when I used to like to go shopping when I was hungover, so it would kind of distract me from how crappy I was feeling. Another reason for that is I didn't drink in the morning, and I didn't drink in the morning because everybody on intervention drank in the morning, and I felt like if I didn't drink in the morning, maybe I'm an alcoholic, but I'm not. I can't be that bad. So I had some miserable mornings. I can't really afford to support myself. I moved back home, and I'm just after a couple of months, I'm still miserable. I'm probably more miserable than ever. I really don't have any contact with anybody outside of the people I work with. I don't even really talk to my parents aside from I would usually call my mom every morning because I was at this point I'm blacking out every night. So I'm calling her I tell her just to say hey, but it's usually to make sure I didn't do anything crazy the night before. This is around the time I got sober. I didn't really plan on getting sober. I felt like I wanted to, but I wasn't doing anything about it. I had heard of AA, but I didn't really have much of an interest in. I didn't know too much about it, but I knew enough to not have much of an interest in going to AA meetings. And what I wanted was somebody to just come in and fix my problems. I wanted my life to be better than it was, but I didn't want to have to actually do anything about it. So I was just sitting around getting drunk all the time, waiting for somebody to fix it for me. And nobody really was, so I wasn't planning on getting sober. I remember the day I got sober, the day I had my last drink, I went to work and then went to the liquor store like I usually do, and I came back, and I got back to my parents' house, and my dad had a conversation with me about how much I was drinking, which that wasn't the first time that somebody had talked to me about that, but for whatever reason, I was just feeling so horrible that it really... It was just enough for me to be like, all right, enough is enough. I just remember I was hungover and just feeling terrible, and he was just laying into me about how much I was drinking, and I was just thinking, like, you know what, okay, this is an opportunity to do something about it. If I don't do it now, when am I going to do it? So I tell him, you know what, I feel like I have a problem and I want to stop. And he was just like, great, you want to go to a meeting? What do we got to do? And I thought, well, we could go to a meeting, but, you know, again, I watch a lot of intervention. On intervention, they don't seem to get sober by going to meetings. They get sober by going to rehabs, which are, like, really nice rehabs, like in Florida or some places with beaches and palm trees. So I told him that. I was like, well, you know, I think I need to go to rehab. And he's like, all right, well, yeah, we'll send you someplace. And I was like, there's a lot of nice places in Florida from what I hear. And he didn't go for that. He's like, I'm not paying for you to go to Florida. So I ended up going to Williamsburg, which is not Florida, but it's closer than Richmond, so I guess it worked out. It was closer than Powhatan. But I go to this rehab in Williamsburg, and I was actually pretty pumped going there. I remember thinking, like, because I had wanted to not drink for a long time, and again, I just hadn't been willing to do anything about it, but now I'm driving down there, I'm thinking, you know what, I'm finally doing something about this. I don't have to drink anymore. This is going to be great. You know, this whole, I've been feeling miserable for a long time, and this is finally over. And that lasted about 2 seconds when I got there. I got there, I find out that they're 12-step based. I don't know much about the 12 steps, but I do know they have something to do with God, which is not something that, it's not something I wanted to hear. I always felt like I was a fairly smart dude, and I had worked out that anybody who believed in God was just either crazy or an idiot. That's the way I felt. I didn't grow up very religious. I grew up Catholic, and I didn't have a bad experience with religion as a kid. I know a lot of people do, but it wasn't something I was very interested in. I remember as a kid, like, my parents would want me to go to church, and I'd rather do something else than Sunday morning, and that was the way I felt for 25 years. But I just didn't. I was not a huge fan of the word God. I felt like anytime, especially in the South, because originally when I was younger, we lived in Pennsylvania, and it's a little, religion down here is a little different. I think that really kind of helped the difference between where I was used to live in Pennsylvania and down here, colored my view of AA for a long time, because I always felt walking into a meeting like I was going into like a Protestant church and they were all going to try to save me, and I didn't want any part of that. So when I get to rehab, I find out they're 12-step based. I'm not a huge fan. They tell me that they want me to go to meetings, they want me to get a sponsor, and I was like, all right, whatever, I'm here, I don't want to drink, so I'll give it a shot. And I go to my first meeting that night. There was a group that brought a meeting into that treatment center. I'd never been to an AA meeting before, and I was just like, all right, well, you know what, doesn't sound like it's my cup of tea, but I'll check it out. We'll see what happens. And it was a speaker meeting. It was a guy that spoke. It was kind of a lot like this. Guy had been sober for like 15 years. And as soon as he starts talking, I just like, I don't know. I was just depressed because I heard him talk about God a lot. And I don't know. I've heard that guy speak since then. I'm pretty sure it's that guy. And since I heard something very different. But I remember the first time he spoke, the only thing I heard was, basically I used to drink a lot, and now I don't, and God does everything for me. And I remember everybody there was like, anytime you would mention the word God, they would all clap or like nod or just kind of be like, yep, mm-hmm. And I was just like, what is this? Is this like, this is recovery? Like, I'm coming here, there are people that are trained medical professionals, and they're telling me, like, this is what I got to do to stay sober. Like, this is the best you got. And I was just like, at the end of the meeting, all the other patients there seemed like they were really pumped. They all thought he was really good, and they were pretty inspired. And I didn't. I was just, I don't know. I was just, I think I had such a high opinion of myself that I couldn't hear anything that anybody was trying to say. So I thought it was stupid. I didn't want anything to do with it. I went through rehab. I got a sponsor so they wouldn't kick me out, but I talked to them like twice. Moved to a sober house in Richmond, and we were supposed to go to, like most recovery houses, we had to go to meetings. I went to a meeting every day for maybe a couple of weeks, and then slowly I just stopped. I just didn't want to have anything to do with AA. I started going to meetings at first when I got out because I was scared. Because I'd seen, heard so many stories about people not going to meetings and drinking. And I would see people that had been sober right around the same time amount of time I did that stopped going to meetings and started drinking. But I was going to meetings, and I didn't have a sponsor. I didn't take the steps. I didn't really take any of it seriously. And I think after a while, I just my ego just got bigger and bigger and bigger. And I just thought, you know what? They're telling me if I stop going to meetings that if I don't get a sponsor, I'm going to drink. Or if I don't do the steps, I'm going to drink. And I haven't done either of those two things, and I've been sober 90 days. That is a long time. So obviously they're wrong. So I just eventually stopped going. And I didn't make it. It wasn't like a conscious where, you know what, I'm done with this. I just really, it kind of petered out. I felt like AA didn't have anything to offer me. And I just stopped. It wasn't really, I don't know, I just didn't really get what anybody was trying to say, which is, it's kind of a shame, because it really, there were, looking back on it, there were so many people that I met there that had been, that if I just stuck around a little longer, I could have watched them do better. But I think I painted a pretty good description of just, I had a huge ego, I was so resentful. I was just basically a jerk. You know, I felt like I'm not an only child, but I might as well have been. I've always kind of walked around acting like a spoiled little kid, and that was the mindset I had when I first went to AA. I want everybody to, I want to go to an AA meeting. I want everybody to pay attention to me, to do something to make me feel better. I shouldn't really have to do anything, and especially if something makes me uncomfortable, that's just not fair. And, you know, that's not what AA is. And I was always disappointed. And that kept me out of AA, or that took me out of AA. And I stopped going, and I spent the next about 2 years not going to meetings, never set foot in an AA meeting. I also didn't drink, which I don't, at the time, I thought the reason that happened was I was just smarter than everybody else. Just thought, well, you know, I don't need those poor people need to go to meetings because they're idiots. I'm obviously not an idiot, and it always kind of bothered me that I didn't, because in the back of my head I knew that I wasn't really doing anything different. So I know I couldn't explain why I wasn't drinking, because I mean, looking back on my history, I knew that I had tried to stop drinking so many times that I knew there wasn't really anything I could do about it. But I kind of convinced myself that it was me. That, you know, I was better than everybody else. I didn't need to go to meetings. I just kind of need to do my thing. And it turns out what my thing is being unemployed and hanging out on my parents' couch. After I stopped going to meetings, I'm still pretty convinced I'm a genius. And I remember my parents, they were really supportive of me getting sober. They were glad I got sober, but they wanted me to, you know, have a life like most people do. And my dad would talk to me about getting a job, and I would always be like, oh, look, you know, jobs are really stressful, and I just quit drinking. And, you know, in rehab, they told us that we should avoid stressful situations, which they didn't tell us that. But you know, I don't want to start drinking again, so I don't know if that's a good idea. I remember when I first told him that, he was like, all right, whatever. But I spent literally 2 years just hanging out on my parents' couch doing absolutely nothing. I didn't drink. I just sat around and watched TV all day. And at the time, I thought there was nothing wrong with it. I thought I was a smooth operator. It was great. I had a pretty good thing going. And I thought, like, I didn't know how long that was going to last, but I was going to ride it out as long as I could. And which I would have kept doing that probably until I started drinking again, which I believe would have happened. But what happened was I started thinking about drinking again. I had all these kind of like little fears and neurotic things that had bothered me. I remember like when I was in high school started coming back. And now I know that's because I'm an alcoholic and I wasn't doing the one thing that had helped me get over that before, which was drinking. So now I pretty much had nothing. So I started thinking about drinking. It just seemed like it was out of the blue. I couldn't stop thinking about booze. And the fear of drinking just kind of took over my life. It didn't seem to, didn't matter what I could do. I couldn't, what I tried, I couldn't get it out of my head. I remember thinking about the liquor cabinet that my dad kept this huge bottle of scotch in and thinking, well, I haven't had a drink in like 2 years. You know, if I really wanted to, I could break into that, grab some, and nobody would know. Like there is nothing to stop me. And I would always notice if I was driving down the road and pass an ABC store, or if I was in a restaurant, I would always notice the bar, or if somebody was drinking around me. I could not get it out of my head. I didn't know what was going on. I thought I was crazy. I thought I had some kind of mental disorder, like bipolar or borderline personality disorders. I don't know. I Wikipedia'd a lot of this stuff. I thought I was just going nuts. I didn't really think it had anything to do, it had a lot to do with alcoholism. But eventually this was happening so much that I decided to, there was one guy in AA whose phone number I had kept, and I don't know why I kept it, because I didn't like anybody in AA, but I didn't particularly like this guy. But I just decided to call him, because I didn't know what else to do. And as crazy as, and you know, self-centered and egotistical as I was, I knew the one thing that I couldn't afford was to start drinking again. I had seen enough people that drank like me in rehab and when I had been around AA to know what would probably happen if I started drinking again. So that gave me just enough of an open mind to call this guy from AA and see what he could do to help me. So I call him and I talk to him. Well, I go down to meet him at his house and I talk to him for a little while. And I'm telling him all this crap that's going on with me. And I'm convinced after I tell him that I have, you know, I've been living on my parents' couch for 2 years and all the stuff that's going on in my head, he's going to tell me that I'm nuts. That there's something wrong with you. I don't know what to do. But he doesn't. He starts laughing and he's just like, well, it sounds like you got alcoholism. And I was like, all right, that's good to know. But I'm not sure what I should do. And what he said was, and I remember after this, his neighbor was also on the program. It had been sober for a while. I talked to him about it too. And they both said the same thing, which is what I was afraid they were going to say, was you know, go to meetings and take the steps, and get a sponsor. I still had no intention of doing that. I didn't want to have anything to do with Alcoholics Anonymous, but I didn't know what else to do. So I started going to meetings. And I think, all right, well, I'm going to go to meetings until I feel better and I'm not feeling so crazy. And then as soon as this kind of wears off and I start feeling better, I'm out the door, I'm back on the couch, and everything's going to be great. And I started going to a lot of meetings, and that didn't happen. And I still can't stop thinking about drinking, and I'm going to a meeting every day, sometimes twice a day, and my head's not getting any better. I don't know why. And I tell people that I don't know why, and they're telling me, well, you should get a sponsor and take the steps. And it still takes me a while to do that. Start looking for a sponsor, which is kind of a, I could talk for an hour about that in itself. I can't be sponsored by just anybody. Apparently, I started like a list. I was going to speaker meetings, and I started like a list in my head of people that were worthy of sponsoring me. And it's just like the first thing on the list was like if you talk about God, you're not on the list. So there was, I kind of had to amend that because there was nobody on the list for a while. And it came down to really there were two guys that I decided like, all right, well, they don't seem I can work with either of these guys. They don't seem quite as crazy as the other people. And one day I was standing outside a meeting and smoking, which not talking to anybody, which was kind of my thing at the time. I would go to meetings, show up like 10 minutes early, stand like as far away from everybody as I could, and you know, make it a point of not speaking to anyone. And I remember this meeting, I've been going there on a regular basis ever since. And a couple of years ago, somebody in the home group came up to me and she was like, I was just telling your sponsor how much you looked like a serial killer when you got here. I was standing outside this meeting smoking, and this guy, one of these two guys that I'd been thinking about asking to sponsor me, came up to me and started talking to me. And I don't know why, maybe he just saw me and was like, God, that guy looks like a serial killer. I should probably talk to him before he serial kills somebody. And he started asking me about my drinking, how long I'd been sober, what I did for work. I did have a job by this time. And started talking to me a little bit about the way he drank and just shared some stuff like right off the bat that I never would have told anybody. Which, again, looking back on it, really wasn't that bad. But I couldn't believe he was telling somebody that he had never met. This, you know, something this embarrassing. And he, I talked to him a lot. I sat by him in the meeting. He talked to me a little bit about his sobriety. I remember him telling me, I was going to go sit in the back, which is what I usually did with the other new guys, so we could bolt as soon as the meeting was over. And he was just, he asked me to go sit up front with him, and he talked to me about why he likes to sit up front in meetings and some of the other stuff he does, you know, the sponsor asked him to do, and how that helps him stay sober. And he called me the next day, which left a big impression on me, because I had plenty of people talk to me at meetings. You know, most of the time it was just like, hey, how you doing? Keep coming back. And I had a couple people had tried to call me when I had years before when I had just gotten out of rehab, but nobody had really taken this much of an interest in how I was doing. I mean, I didn't know this guy at all. It kind of floored me that he really cared that much about, you know, what was going on with me. So after, I think about a week, you know, I'd see him at meetings all the time, and I'd talk to him a little bit. I thought, well, if I'm ever going to ask anybody to sponsor me, it's got to be him. So I finally asked him to sponsor me, and started going through the steps. And that's when things really started to change. It didn't start immediately. I remember we're going through the steps, going through the book. I'm going to a ton of meetings. He's got me doing all kinds of stuff I don't want to do. He has me call him every day. He has me call him and three other guys every day. I'm going to this homeless shelter and giving guys rides to meetings like 5 days a week. And it doesn't seem like my head's getting any better. It's driving me nuts. Because I'm still thinking, all right, well, I'm doing all this. I'll go through the steps. But as soon as it's done, or as soon as I feel better, I'm still out of here. And that didn't happen for a long time. I remember just being still thinking about drinking for months, and just being terrified of drinking for months. And eventually, it was probably around the time we started getting towards the end of the steps. Maybe when he started. Around the time I was asked to start sponsoring people, what was going on in my head did get a little better. I started to feel kind of normal and calm and not insane, which hadn't happened in a while. That's not something I expected. I was hoping for it, but at that point I had been around long enough to see that that AA works. There was something in all these actions that this guy was telling me to take that was helping. And at the time, it took me a long time to be okay with the idea that of a God, that there's a God out there that keeps me sober and it's got nothing to do with me. At the time, I wasn't quite there yet, but I was pretty impressed with how taking the steps had changed my life, because if I looked at it, tried to look at it rationally, it didn't make any sense. You know, reading things out of a book, I'm going to a lot of meetings, I'm calling people and giving people rides. And a few other things, but that shouldn't make somebody who's crazy not crazy. That doesn't make any sense. But that's what happened to me. So I stuck around, and things really started to change. And I don't know. I've never had I don't know. I've never had like an epiphany or any kind of moment where I just felt, you know, I felt the presence of God, and it was overwhelming. What happened to me is the steps really worked, and they continue to work very slowly. And I think I've heard a speaker, an old timer say, I forget who it was, on a CD one time, kind of say that what the steps do is the same thing that alcohol did for us, but the steps will do this slowly over a period of time. And I think that fits right with my experience. I stayed in AA. And everything in my life started to change. I started getting a lot of friends. All these guys, my sponsor had me call a certain number of alcoholics every day, like I said. And a lot of these guys that I called became really good friends of mine. And I was going to so many meetings. I was meeting people. And I got this kind of group of people around me it was more friends than I'd ever really had before. And these people all really they all really cared about me. And it was something, that's something I'd never really experienced. You know, I had friends that I drank with before, but they were just people I drank with. It wouldn't be fair to say that none of those people cared about me, because they might have. I just didn't give a crap about them. But this is, AA was just, it was different. I started actually being able to there were parts of my life that I had never had a good hold on that that changed. I remember when I first moved out of my parents' place, that was a big deal because I had done that once before and it was a train wreck. I bought a car, which I had never been able to do. And it was all this little stuff, which I had seen so many people be able to do without any trouble that I couldn't do before. And I used to blame it on the drinking, but it really didn't have anything to do with the drinking. I couldn't do that when I was a year sober either. It's just not, I'm so self-centered. It's not something I'm capable of. But I became a productive member of society. It was, I would go to meetings and it really, it had nothing to do with me, but my sponsor and a lot of these guys that I'd started hanging around with that had all been sober for a lot longer than me. I would see what they did and I would try to do the same thing. And what they would do is they would show up in meetings and try to help people. And, that I found that in AA, when you do that, you know, people actually start caring about you. People want to know how you're doing, and they want you around. That's what happened to me. It was I built this group of people around me that was just awesome. It's still there today. I came to start going to my home group, which is I can't really describe how much that meeting has helped me. And it's probably, I know everybody should feel this about their home group, but I think it's the best meeting that I've ever been through. I just love it. And so things continue to change. And I remember after going through the steps and I'm starting to feel a little better, and my sponsor tells me it's time for you to sponsor guys, which I don't think anybody's too happy about that when they first hear it, but I got over it because I thought I would go to meetings and you see all these old timers walk in, they're followed by like their five sponsees and they seem like they're pretty big deal. And I was like, all right, well, you know, that'd be cool. I wouldn't mind that. So I start trying to get my little entourage of guys I sponsor, and it doesn't work. I remember, God, like I'm trying to sponsor these guys and they just won't stop drinking, and I don't know what the deal is. And I remember reading the part in the book where it talks about, I think it's in Working with Others, where they talk about the early days of AA, and one of our members failed entirely with his first half dozen prospects. And I read that for the first time in a while, and I was like, God, I'm on like 30. And what was going on is I was just making it about me. I was looking for guys to sponsor, partly because that's what I was supposed to do, and I, you know, keep my sponsor off my back, but also partly because I wanted attention. And I don't necessarily, when I was working with them, I don't think I was doing anything wrong, but I was getting disappointed because I didn't really get why I was doing it. You know, that's not why my sponsor started working with me. Certainly having me follow him around probably did not make him look good. But it, after a while, I was getting desperate because I wasn't getting what I wanted. And I remember talking to a guy in my home group, about sponsorship, and I hadn't been trying to sponsor people for that long, but he was telling me how great it was. And he was like, well, man, when you see the light come on in somebody's eyes, it's indescribable. And at the time, I was like, well, no, this is pretty describable, dude. Like, there are many words I can use to describe this. But looking back on that, there were two things about that conversation that I didn't pick up on that I should have. First one is when he told me that, he wasn't sponsoring anybody. And the second one is that guy, shortly after we had that conversation, he stopped going to meetings. And he's not in AA anymore. And he might be doing okay, I don't know. But I've tried not going to meetings. That doesn't work for me. Everybody that I know that is actively sponsoring people and looking for people to sponsor is stayed in AA. And that's something that I need to keep doing. I'm lucky enough to be surrounded by guys that were all about that. And it was told to me kind of from day one that, you know, you're here to give. And one of my something my sponsor told me is, you know, don't be a taker. You know, we need to. I've been a taker for 25 years at that point. You know, I've been doing enough, and I'm still a taker. I'm still just as selfish as I was when I first got sober. The difference between then and now is now I have a way to not. You know, I know the steps that I need to take to not be that person anymore. It's still up to me if I choose to do it. I'm certainly not perfect about it, but That's what AA did for me. There were a bunch of guys that were exactly like that, that took time out of whatever was going on with them to help me out. And they saved my life. And that was a few years ago. I've been in AA ever since. And it has nothing to do with me. I would love to say that it does. Believe me, I would love to take credit for it. But it's because of that. The example that they gave to me is what I try to do. And I don't know if anybody's new here. I hope you got something out of that. But I think the best thing you can hear is just keep coming back, which is probably the most common thing you'll hear in AA. But that is really what worked for me. I just kept coming to meetings, and eventually I stuck around long enough to give the steps a try and really kind of go from having one foot here to having both feet here. And then after that, my life absolutely changed. So I think that's all I got. All right.